Hold on to your butts.
The bigger point.
Why ain't you gonna press the flesh, Pappy? Do a little politicking?
I'll press your flesh, you primitive son bitch. You don't tell your pappy how to cut the electorate. We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah. That's a powerful new force.
Mm-hmm. Take a leg, Junior.
Hey, y'all, in this episode of What's Happening with Carolina Chuck, we're going to talk to Jeremy Palko. He's an actor that's worked on hit TV shows like The Walking Dead, Vampire Diaries, just to name a few. He's even did a little directing. But nowadays, he's found a passion for art, and he's got his own style of painting. So y'all check him out. Be good. Peace out.
Check one, check two.
Sounds good on this end.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, dude? This is crazy. I'm going to hit record, but I got to tell you, dude, what happened to me. It's pretty crazy.
You starting off with a crazy story?
Yeah, I got to, man. It's I'm in shock, really. Dude, I was walking with my son, right, and got hit by a freaking mail truck.
You got hit by a milk truck?
Mail truck. The mailman. Hit
everybody
me.
All right?
My son's in the ER right now. He's fine. He's fine, right? So he got scraped up, but it was pretty crazy, dude. I moved back down to South Carolina, and I'm crashing at my parents' place in my old apartment for a little bit, until we find a place to rent. Yeah. And me and him went to the store, walked up to the store. I mean, it's 60 yards right over that way. And when we're coming back, I got drinks. The mail lady, like, rolling stop, didn't stop, was looking the opposite way. And I'm hitting the hood, boom. And I had to, like, push my son backwards. Like, it was crazy. Like, the mental thing was, like, I'm trying to keep him away from the tire. But, yeah, so.
You know, you don't have to be here tonight, brother.
Like, no, I'm all good, man. I've been playing a little flag football, a little rough touch flag football. So my offensive lineman skills kind of saved the day, I think.
Yeah. Oh God, man.
Yeah. I mean, we're all good, but it was just a really crazy thing, dude. It was pretty wild.
Well, man, shit, wishing him the best right now, man.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Anyways, I wanted to start off with some exciting stuff. Oh man. But look, how have you been since I seen you up in Clayton, New York?
Man, that was like one of the best trips, like, and that like rejuvenated everything, and everything's been great. Like, honestly, like, doing those type of shows, especially as an artist, you know, like, seeing people and talking to people and actually seeing people look at my work, it's like, you don't feel like such a crazy person sitting in your house, you know, painting all day.
Right. I actually got a piece from you, and I wanted to have it, but it's in the pod somewhere buried, and I'm like, I'm not gonna go through a couple hours.
It means the world, man. Seriously.
Yeah. No, it was really cool, man. And I'm kind of, I don't know. It just kind of the piece I saw and I bought, it was like, it fit me. I was like, I like that. Not really hip on the art, you know, but I like things.
You're preaching to the choir, man. Like, I started painting a few years back, like COVID, complete hobby, and it like changed my life.
Really?
I could talk all day about it, man, but like, specifically as an artist who, like, I pride myself in only making like original pieces, you
right,
know, like
right.
Once I'm done with it, it's done. There's no prints, there's no, you know, duplicates. Like, I take a lot of pride in that. And so when people connect with my work, it doesn't have to be all of it, you know, but if they find that one piece and they're like, yo, that's the, you know, when art speaks to you, you just can't. You can't explain it, and so I take a lot of pride in that.
And that's why I was like, I'm not even going to try to explain it. But whatever it was, it spoke to me, and I got it, and it's going to go into my new studio once I get set up doing this.
That's awesome, man.
But, hey, so I don't know where we should start. I kind of wanted to get some background
man,
on you.
Yeah, it's fun, man. I'm so sorry, brother.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. What's your son's name?
His name's David Charles. David. Yep.
How old
is he? He's seven.
David, yeah, man.
But he was tough. He didn't cry or nothing. He popped right back up and
just kind of shocked.
Yeah, you know? Dude, I'm gonna tell you,
just bounced up like a little superhero.
Yeah, bunch. Yeah, exactly. I was like,
I got hit by a bus, man.
Yeah, I was like, God, dude. I was like, I'm looking at him and I'm like, man, The craziest part was is I was like, I had a little bit of control of where he was going to go. Yeah. I was like, I didn't want to push him towards the tires, but then I didn't want to push him in front of the car. But in like the whole half a second made me push him behind. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was pretty wild. Yeah, but look, I wanted to start right here. So I met you at the Anchor Con up there. You were there. The way they pitched it was you were in The Walking Dead, which is awesome. But I was going to jump right into it. My wife's favorite show in the whole world is Vampire Diaries. And so I watched a little background. You were in that too.
Yeah.
And I seen that you got a black belt in Taekwondo.
Man, you are like the second person to mention that to me today. That's like the weird thing about the universe, I guess.
Yeah.
But at one point in my life was a black belt. I don't like go repping that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm 40 and I'm a peaceful man. I walk away. But yeah, I did about my brother, my sister, my dad. We all did it growing up
and, mm-hmm.
you know, did it for like over a decade and a half to where we all kind of got our black belts. And yeah, once you got something like that, when you were like 18 years old, you know, there's a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, and on
because it took that long. It took like 15 years to get it.
Yeah, and I actually took Taekwondo as I know you did sports and stuff too, so I'll dive into why I'm asking you about that. I was a pitcher. I hurt my shoulder, so I ended up they put me in the outfield. Then I got into a fist fight with my second baseman, and I realized I was like maybe I'm more of a combat sports guy. So I jumped into Taekwondo, and I was like that's not really it. I got into boxing. So I did a lot of boxing, and then, like you said, how you're a peaceful guy, it really, that kind of stuff changed my life and humbled me. Yeah. And
you learn a different side to it, man. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I did wrestling for about 4 years, maybe five.
And really?
That quickly gained my respect as being the toughest sport on the planet.
Absolutely.
And all the martial arts aside, I think if anything ever came down to a fight, I think wrestling is one of those things that you will always be thankful you studied a little bit of.
Yeah, and I didn't get into wrestling until once I went from boxing, I went to train Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That's it, yeah.
And then those guys, the wrestlers, were always beasting on me, so my coach brought in a wrestling coach, and I studied a little wrestling, but by that time I was kind of over it, you know.
Yeah.
You're from Georgia, but raised in Washington.
Yeah, I was born in LaGrange, Georgia, and when I was five, I moved to Puyallup, which is south of Seattle by about an hour. And then I spent, you know, my whole childhood, elementary school, junior high school, went to the University of Washington, and then I came down to Florida and worked for Mickey Mouse for a while. But yeah, there was about 20 years in the Northwest, and
how did you end up out there?
In Florida?
No, in Washington.
Oh, my dad worked for the Wall Street Journal.
Really?
So, yeah, when I was five, he got, I guess, you know, promotion kind of thing.
And yeah.
Located all of us to the Northwest and, yeah, called that home for, a very long time, man.
That's cool. My mom was actually born in Oregon.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've never been out there. Actually, the only time I've ever been on an airplane, I was like 6 months, and I flew out to Oregon to see her family, which I don't remember.
That's the only time you've been on a plane?
Never been on a plane, man. I don't know really? Why. Yeah, I've been avoiding them. I don't know why.
Do you, like, not like them? You scared of them?
I think at this, I'm 38, so I think at this point, I'm probably a little scared. But
you know, I'm not ragging on you for that, because, like, I've flown planes my whole life. Like, I literally just got off the longest flight I've ever taken from Copenhagen to Atlanta. I was visiting family in Germany, but
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I loved flying. It was exciting. It was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, going to Disney World type thing. And now, like, I'm like, you know, 17-year-old kid probably just checked that engine valve thing.
Dude, I swear, I know that you're living in Atlanta, so you probably have heard of Carowinds around Charlotte. Big amusement park?
Maybe.
It don't matter. It's a big amusement park in Charlotte. And we just came down in April, and we went to Carowinds. For the first time, I've been in Carowinds in a long time with my kids. And I'm like, I'm looking at all how this thing's put together. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm like, man. Oh, man, dude. Like, this is terrible. Like, the slowest thing the big swing thing kind of terrified me. I was like, there's only one bolt holding that in there.
I mean, I grew up in Puyallup, south of Seattle again, and we had this, the statewide fair, the Puyallup Fair. It was always called Do the Puyallup. It was, in fact, the largest fair for some years running along the West Coast. Like, you ever see the movie Fear with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
They shot it at that fair.
And oh, really?
Like 50 years running. Anyways, I remember as kids, we go on all the rides, you know, like rickety old, like,
yeah,
roller coasters. And for years, they all just deteriorated, but they're still open, you know. And then I went and worked for, you know, Disney and Universal Studios. And so I kind of have, like, a high bar when it comes to rides.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's in a parking lot and it's collapsible, I'm probably not going to.
I swear. Mm-hmm. So, when you went to Disney, what's that?
No, my dog.
Oh, look at there. I've seen pictures of you.
This is Jonesy.
Jonesy.
He won't leave me alone.
That's a good looking dog.
Yeah, he's a good one. All right, go. I don't want to play. Go. Sorry.
That's all right. So, where did your acting part come in? Was that when you were at Disney? That kind of inspired you?
Kinda. Yeah, I kind of always, man, like the acting bug. Is that where we're going with this? Like,
yeah.
Where did it come in?
Yeah.
Like, probably in right after high school, you know, during college, I was kind of playing it safe, doing everything, you know, taking all the necessary things. But probably about my second year, I really wanted to get into film any way I could. And, you know, Seattle didn't have a great film program of any kind. So mm-hmm. They did have a good drama program. And so I took, you know, one or two acting classes. And this was right after I tore my right ACL in my knee. I had already torn my left one my senior year in high school.
Wait a minute. What were you playing?
Sorry, back up. Yeah, in high school, my senior year, I was like I was going to go to college and play football, and I had a decent amount of, you know, Division III schools interested, even one or two Pac-12 schools at the time, but, you know, very cliche, probably fifth game into my senior year, you know, like captain the football team type thing, and I just get knee taken out, folded, and literally kind of just ended all football right then and there. And I really had no idea what I wanted to do. And when I got to University of Washington, yeah, probably my second year, I took my first acting class out of just pure curiosity. Like, I always wanted to be an actor, you know, but didn't think it was really possible. Didn't have a whole lot of theater, you know, inspirations or friends growing up. But after that first acting class, man, it was like, it was so fun. It was like, I got to scream and yell and just like dive in and be, you know, whatever I wanted to be. You know, I really kind of got the acting bug. But again, nothing kind of happened in Seattle. I remember I did like an independent commercial and I thought it was like, you know, award winning, and it was not.
Yeah.
No, wait.
So
I always wanted to work for Disney as a kid, and they came around offering a college program, kind of a, you know, internship, get paid a little money, but work for Disney. And so I did that. And I was a lifeguard at Blizzard Beach for, you know, like 8 months. And it was a blast. Met people from around the world, made no money.
Right. Just,
ultimately, I had so much fun. And when I graduated UW, I actually had a degree in writing with a minor in dramatic theater. So, like, there's nothing you're going to do with that. And then a friend of mine was like, why don't you try the Disney Cruise Line? And like a tumbleweed, man, I was just like, you know what? That sounds awesome. And I applied, and I got a call, and I flew from Seattle to Orlando. And I did that for about 2 years. And that was like, that's where I really got the kind of the stage training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd never been, like, you know, stage really trained, but being on stage, you know, all day, every day with a microphone kind of got me comfortable. And so did that for 2 years, got back on land, started working for Universal, actually, because it was just the first theme park that was next to my house.
Right.
But then proceeded to get an agent and, you know, the headshots and kind of do the actor's life. And every once in a while, I got a, you know, good audition or thankfully a good, you know, booking in a part. So and that's kind of been my career thus far, is just little part. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm happy to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know how to say this, but you got a look about you. I mean, you got a good build and you're a handsome guy. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I tell my agent that every once in a while.
Yeah.
Nah, you need new headshots.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well, what my thinking is how I, is from when I went from pitching to the outfield and then I went to boxing and stuff like that. It was, I think I was more of, I like that pressure part of it. You know what I mean? Like I have to put myself into difficult situations. Yeah. And that's what led me to doing a podcast that goes on TV and getting in front of people and talking and presenting bands and stuff like that. Like I'm scared to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not easy. It's really not.
I just think that maybe some of that came from, you know, when you were doing sports, you know, when you were playing sports.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. You know, wrestling, I remember those days when it's just like you and, you know, 1,000 people and you got to single it on and about, you know, wrestle it up and you get those nerves, man. But essentially, you know, the spotlight's on you.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, but as soon as you hit the mat or step into the ring, it all goes away and it's just you and them. But so tell me, is there any cool stories you got from behind the scenes of Walking Dead?
Walking Dead behind the scenes?
Yeah.
Oh, man, like, just more so that they were just, like, the nicest people in the world, first of all. Like, I remember rolling up to set one day, and I was so nervous, and, there, you know, the van was packed full of the actors, and next to Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus, like, freaking out trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
Rolled up to set. I'll never forget. Bohemian Rhapsody was on the radio.
Wow.
And it had not hit the crescendo part yet.
Yeah.
So we pull up and somebody opens the door and Steven Yeun, who played Glenn, shuts the door and he's like, not before the headbang. And we sat in there for like probably an extra 10 seconds, cranked the radio and just like walked out of the van headbanging to a crew of like, you know, 100 people.
That's
and
cool.
That was like my first day on set, so that was a lot of fun.
That's cool because my wife watched a lot of shows. I've always been like a sports guy, you know, and so I'd caught bits and pieces of The Walking Dead when it was really popular. And there was a time to me it was almost Walking Dead was the thing because there was talks about zombies in the news, you know. It was a pretty crazy thing. So it's almost like a cult classic, you know. So it's a big thing to be a part of.
Oh man, like very thankful to this day just to be, you know, a small wheel in that big machine. But yeah, I remember when it first came out and I didn't see it, I didn't watch it. But I kept reading for, you know, parts here, parts there, and I never really got anything, but I was always hoping, you know. And then one day, honestly, like when I least expected it, I was like, man, I probably didn't get that one, whatever, move on. And I got the call. And it then, yeah, I went back and I binged like seasons 1 through 5.
Yeah.
In like 4 days. And I was hooked. It was really, you know, a great show. And then I walked onto set. So it was really a nice transition, actually. So
that's awesome. That's like, kind of what I did when I first talked to you up there. I was like, man, I'm going to start watching The Walking Dead, you know?
Yeah. And each season, it just kind of got dramatically different. You know, people will come up to me all the time, like, oh, I hate zombies. I'm like, well, once you get past season one, you're kind of okay, you know?
And yeah.
It's, you know, it's not about that, obviously, but.
So is that how you ended up back in Atlanta?
Yes. I was actually living in Orlando at the time, and honestly, for about 9 years, anytime I booked something or had auditions, I'd have to drive to Atlanta and back, and it was always, you know, 7 hours each way. And I actually got fired from Universal Studios at a very particular time. That's a fun story. And I was kind of looking for a change anyways. And on a real dramatic note, a dear friend of mine passed away.
Oh.
He was actually my roommate for 8 years. And so that was another thing to just, you know, move on with life. And so friend of a friend found me a nice house, a nice room, and, you know, just kind of followed it to Georgia. And, you know, that's when, of course, COVID hit and then the strike happened. And so finding work
has
been difficult for a lot of actors here for a while.
Yeah. And then how's painting doing? I mean, is that how did you transition from acting into painting? Like, what do you think
oh, man.
Inspired that?
this is like the fluke of all time for me. I had never painted a day in my life. I had never thought about painting. Like, I had no curiosity. Like, I might as well have been an astronaut to me. I'm like, cool, go do your thing. And then during COVID, I painted one painting and I put it on my social media, and instantly somebody was like, hey, I'll give you $100 for that. And I was like, what? So I used that money. I bought some more paints and canvas, and I'm not even joking. I have not stopped painting a day since that day.
Really?
Like, I have painted probably every single day, and I've probably painted somewhere between 4,000 or 5,000 pieces. And like, that's not to brag, that like blows my freaking mind to even say it, because like, it's something I truly just instantly fell in love with. And I think if you look at any of my social media, you know, and a good compliment I often receive is that like, hey, you've been doing this your whole life. And I said, no, man, like,
yeah,
this is new, but I absolutely am obsessed.
It's really cool. And it's really cool. And I want to know more about the tree thing. That's what I see a tree an awful lot in there.
Yeah. Someone noticed that too. And I was like, I have no idea. That's just kind of my, like, you know, like therapy, I guess you can call it, or just like my time to relax. But trees are often just, somebody gave me this really long explanation, which I really liked. I was like, you know what? That's good. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Remember, but it was basically, you know, it's your creativity. It's your flow of nature. It's the way you look at life. And, you know, I've always been kind of like go with the flow, like kind of, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
More so just don't be, you know, attached to things or, you know, ideas. And I don't know, trees are just kind of always different. You know, they're always, no matter how I try to do one the same, it's never going to look like the next one.
Right, right. Have you ever thought about taping a banana to a wall?
I'm telling you, man, I posted that on my social, like, I don't post often or rant, but I was like, man, that one pissed me off. come on, I just don't get it. But that is kind of the fun side of art. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to be everyone's thing, but somebody is going to find a lot of
a lottery ticket too.
Maybe not 6.2 million, but you know, I would take it.
Yeah, that is crazy. That is,
it's just, that's stupid amount of money, and it's embarrassing. So
yeah, I don't know.
I hope it goes to something good.
Yeah. Hopefully. That's, I mean, I want to kind of look into it and see who that artist was, but whatever.
I don't want to Google.
I don't want to know anything about it. No, I got to check it out because I'm interested. But, so Atlanta Braves fan, you also like the Seahawks too.
Like I said, 20 years in Seattle, and I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, and I love my Mariners. I always love, like, Griffey. Griffey's my favorite player of all time.
Right,
like,
right.
I met Ichiro. I met Edgar Martinez. I met Jay Buhner.
Really?
Like, Joey Cora. I have A-Rod's autograph when 1995. It was actually 94 when he played for the Rainiers. So, yeah. And then, but when I, you know, my first game was at, you know, Fulton County Stadium. And so, actually, wow. Dave Justice was technically my first favorite player.
Wow.
And then I remember my dad, I'll never forget, my first hat I ever had was an Atlanta Braves Pro Fit hat. And I was like 8 years old, and I thought it was the coolest thing. And so when we moved to Seattle, I didn't want to like the Mariners. I was like, no, man, I'm a Braves fan.
Yeah.
I had Terry Pendleton and Ron Gant posters.
Wow.
And then, but yeah, like the 95 season in Seattle was like the mile my season. It was like Griffey and A-Rod, and it was, yeah, it changed that town. And
yeah, it's hard not to.
Man, you got me going with the Mariners.
I know, dude. I told you I just did a podcast with Tommy John.
Yeah, you mentioned
that. Yeah, and they're trying to get him into the Era Hall of Fame, which is cool. I had to do a little studying up. Obviously, he's a little bit older, you know.
Yeah.
But he... John Smoltz was going to retire, and Tommy John called him up and was like, hey, get the surgery. And John Smoltz got the surgery and ended up in the Hall of Fame, and he mentioned him in his Hall of Fame speech. So I thought it was pretty cool. So,
but I got, note, I've only had one baseball glove for 30 years, and it has Tom Glavin gold signature in the middle. Not a real signature, but the edition.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize that until I was playing softball last 2 years ago, and I round first base and all my legs hurt. And I'm quitting. And then I realized I've had one glove my entire life.
Wow.
Like, got it when I was 12. Still in the back of my car for some weird reason, but.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So, what's the.
We get bronze one day.
Yeah. I got one because I started playing softball, but I don't know. That's when what I was going to say is I tore up my shoulder boxing, right? So I got to get screws put in there. And I didn't finally tear it up until I was actually playing softball, and the second baseman jumped. I was on first. I was a base runner, and I was going to go to second, but the second baseman jumped like 8 feet off the ground and caught the ball, so I had to turn around and dive right back into first.
Yeah.
It was like a train wreck, bro, and I popped it back in, and then I let it in. It's crazy.
Last time I ran softball, like, I was rounding third, and a lot of thoughts went through my head. I was like, I could slide. Yeah. You know, 20 years ago, I'd be sliding right there. And then I was like, you know what? Should probably slow it down. 10 feet before the plate, I'm like, if I slide now, I'm going to be limping for like a month.
Right.
Not worth it. Like, just hit me in the back of the head with the ball.
Dude, you should have seen. I was, I was playing flag football, but I was offensive lineman. Sometimes not enough people show up, so I had to play D-line. And you're playing flag, so you got to snatch these guys. And I'm like, golly, dude, I'm not. As soon as I get around those guys, I was like, oh, I'm right there on the quarterback. And I'm like, I can't tackle him. I got to try to reach down and grab this thing, and he's juking me out. They're like, get him. I'm like, that's all I got, bro. Like
flag football, all you want are the fast dudes.
Yeah. I am not a fast guy. I messed up my ankle playing golf, of all things. And I got it caught between two golf carts partying one time, but that's a long story. So you got anything you're cooking up now, or you're working on any?
Auditions are always going to be slow this time of year. The holidays are always terrible for auditions, so you always just hold on to the new year. But thankfully, artwork has been keeping me kind of going right now. And actually, today was a very interesting day. I'm local to Marietta here in Georgia, and there's this cool art shop I got introduced to, and I pay like a fee, like a $30 a month, $40 a month fee, and I can hang my artwork in there and sell it, and whatever the sales are, they take their percentage, and I can keep putting my artwork in there.
Really?
And as somebody who paints as often as I do, I thought that was pretty cool, so I'm excited about that.
And you just did that today?
Yeah, today. So I've been running around doing errands all day. Haven't had to print out anything in a while, so I had to go to like FedEx,
Yeah.
Just feeling stupid with the counter person. I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah, you should have seen me do a change of address to come down here. I went to up there in New York. I was like, look, I'm moving down there. I was like, do I get a P.O. box? Like, how does all this work? Yeah. Then I realized I was coming to stay at my parents for a good month. So my dad's got the same name as me. I was like, oh, man, that's going to screw up. I'm a junior, so I was like, this is going to screw up the mail, But, it was pretty funny. My wife had to figure it all out for me. Oh, man, so what I saw you on, what was that Navy show? What was it?
I'm trying to think. Coast Guard, maybe?
No, it wasn't Coast Guard. It was something else. High Point, something. I don't know. You were playing a Navy guy. You were shouting into the thing about loading up some explosive rounds on some.
Was I on a boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Burn notice.
Burn notice. Yeah.
Yeah. I was I was a U.S. Coast Guard captain. That was fun, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm saying you could.
On the
Oh, you were really out there?
Oh yeah, man. It was me, one other actor, and then the rest of it was the real U.S. Coast Guard. Like, the real captain of the ship, it was so funny. He was, like, two people down from me in the shot. And I remember when I knew I was going to have to, like, pull the horn and, like, speak the box. And so I kind of started looking around. I was like, so what can I play with? What can I play with? And the captain looks at me dead serious. He's like, nothing. Don't touch me. And so I was like, cool. And they brought in, like, a fake box so I could, do the whatever. But I remember they were shooting like real, you know, blanks off the side. So like the whole crew were out there just watching them just, you know, wow. just lay fire to the ocean. It was so cool.
Wow. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. But like, it was like real, real Coast Guard. So if anything were to really happen, we would have to go downstairs and like, they would lock us away and if they'd go fight, you know,
holy crap.
Thankfully nothing happened, but yeah, some people threw up overboard, but I had my Disney sea leg. So
yeah, I swear, dude, I've been on two cruises. And when I come back, it's not being out there, but it's like the week after I come back, I'm like, whoa, yeah. You know, feel like,
oh yeah. It's always when you come back to shore, like your body just is still rocking, you know?
Yeah. 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 So how long were you on the cruise ship for? 2 years?
Oh man, I did three contracts and they're basically like 6 months each. So you do 6 months, you take 3 weeks off, 6 months, 3 weeks off, 6 months. And then after my third one, I was done. So
that's freaking cool, man.
But yeah, basically almost 2 years, and I was on two different ships. I was on the Wonder, and then I went over to the Magic for a while. So, but man, it was straight out of college. It was so much fun.
That is crazy, dude. That's awesome. That's a cool story. I kind of got a thing. I don't know if it's because my mom's dad was in the Navy or something, but I feel like the ocean's calling me, bro. I'm telling you.
No, I'm at peace with the ocean, man. Like those were some of my favorite days when I was working on a cruise ship. I would, you know, everybody's basically asleep at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I'd get up early and I'd run the top deck, like literally on the top deck. No one was there, and like the sun would be rising over the ocean, mm-hmm. and I would just, you know, that was some good times.
So is there any artists that you're following now? That is that how like
you art mean like works? Artists as like painters and stuff?
Yeah, like is there any painters that you kind of look at to see what they're doing?
I mean, I kind of just got obsessed with artwork. Like yeah. I started going to like the Van Gogh museums, and I went to the Picasso one. I went to the Monet exhibit when it came to Atlanta. I like to follow pretty much everybody. Anytime I see, honestly, when I see stuff I like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll immediately start following them. But you know, yeah, I'm starting to do some research on certain people. Like I really got into Van Gogh really quickly, and I know that's probably like, you know, the top dog everyone yeah. talks about. But like,
well, that's how you start, dude.
Well, I would think that most people don't really know his story, and that's what intrigued me, you know, personally, because he didn't start painting till he was the same age I was. He only painted for a couple years, you know. He never sold any of his paintings, you know. He only has like 10,000 in the world right now. Yeah, he never made a dollar off his paintings. He went absolutely insane and cut his ear off type thing. Like people don't know that about him. So, yeah, when I find myself painting most days, like some of his quotes he always comes out with, they just kind of hit you different.
That's like the guy that wrote Moby Dick.
Who wrote Moby Dick?
I can't remember who it was, but look, I was listening.
I was like, I know I read Moby Dick.
But the guy whoever wrote it, like he died before it got famous or something.
Herman Melville.
Yeah. Thanks. So he wrote it and it didn't blow up apparently until after he was gone or something.
Yeah,
I heard that not too long ago, anyways.
Yeah, you read stuff like that and you learn about these artists, especially back then, because artwork was just, they didn't have cameras, you know? So anyone right. that could portray a likeness on the canvas, whether it be landscape or, you know, human figures or, you know, fruit, things like that, like those were really received well back then.
Yeah.
You know, they look boring now because we're just like this, you know, AI-obsessed instant art kind of thing.
Oh, man, dude, I'm getting nuts with the AI. I'm doing all kinds of face swapping, voice changing.
I mean, it's fun, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not art, you know?
You know what? As somebody who only paints originals and I meet these artists out there, like, it's a small and mighty community, it feels like.
Is that the Millennium Falcon behind you?
It's one of my pieces, yeah, I'm working on, so... Not done yet, but it's getting there. There's my R2 back there.
I'm a big Star Wars guy.
Man, they're so... love it.
Is your big Star Wars guy, too?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I went down to visit my family in Florida not too long ago. I'm actually heading back there tomorrow, but we went to Disney World and went to the Galaxy Run. And
oh, yeah.
Man, those things were insanely good.
Really? I got to get down there.
Like, you're literally walking into, like, everything Star Wars, and it's just every detail is so cool.
Yeah, so I brought those when I talked to you up there in New York. There was the Metaverse report. Those guys, it was a podcast. It was set up next to you. Yeah. And I looked them up before they were coming up there because I didn't think I was going to make it to the AnchorCon. And I invited them in to kind of do a podcast with me to talk a little bit about Star Wars and stuff. And they are the ones who talked me into going. So I brought my son and we came down there and checked it all out. And I'm glad I went. It was pretty cool. I've never been to one. It was really cool. Do you do that? How did you get involved with
Comic Con?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I do. Hey, it's not going to be my last for now, for sure.
That was a pretty medium-sized one. Like, yeah. I've been fortunate enough to do ones that are like, they're like 4 football fields long, you know, and they're just packed with thousands of people. And I mean, they can be overwhelming. So this one, it felt nice that there's like breathing room and people to talk to. So
yeah.
And
yeah.
Sitting next to Kim Coates was pretty damn cool.
Yeah. You got to go on the river cruise with him too. Isn't that the Thousand Islands like, cool as heck, dude.
I went into that trip with zero expectations. I did it because one of my managers out in LA got it for me like 2 years ago, and I was all set to go. I didn't know much about it. I just New York AnchorCon. It was like their first or second year.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and so everything got scrapped. They asked me to come last year. I couldn't make it, and I couldn't make it. So last year I was like, yeah, I'll do it, and I. In my mind, on my calendar, all it said was New York.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking buildings. I'm thinking like 7-Elevens or something. And I get dropped off into what feels, I mean, the first sign I saw was a buggy Amish crossing.
Yeah.
First sign I saw. And then our driver, forgive me, I forgot his name, but he pulled over to this market. And it's just a mom-pa run next to their house,
yeah.
And they have food everywhere, and it's an honor system. You take whatever you want, and you leave cash in the middle of this basket on the side of the road. And I'm just like, this place is awesome.
Yeah.
And I didn't know my hotel was essentially a bed and breakfast, but like this sweet little old lady out of a movie, I swear to God, she was 90 years old. She was hilarious, but she was like stern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was with Michael, the cosplay. He was awesome.
Oh yeah.
She like gave us a tour of the house, and you know there was codes to get into the bathrooms and whatnot. And she was like, "Be down here at 7:45 sharp, or I toss your breakfast at 7:48."
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
All right, I'll be there. And
they're tough up there.
Breakfast, and it was like, you know. Cinnamon toast up to here. It was so amazing. I don't really eat breakfast, but man, at 8 o'clock she was like forcing food down us, and it was so, and yeah, not to mention just a walk away from the shore. And I sat there for like 4 hours just on the waterfront at what looked like the ocean. I didn't know, you know.
Right. And see, that's kind of where I came. I've seen the ocean. I've been around Lake Norman and stuff. And
yeah.
And my wife's from New York is how I ended up up there, right? So we go on a summer vacation, and we go to Darien Lake. And then I'm like, oh, okay, we're somewhere in New York at Darien Lake, which is Six Flags. Yeah. So the next morning they said, well, go to Niagara. Check that out. I'm like, oh, okay,
that's
cool.
That's fun, too.
So we went there, and then we're going to go to Watertown, where their family's from, 3 hours away. I'm like, what? And then I'm looking at how vast New York is, and then we get up there, and we talked to her family owned the dealership. I was selling cars up there, and we decided we were just going to move up there. So we came up there, then we went to Alex Bay, which is pretty close to Clayton, a similar thing. And we went on the Thousand Islands boat tour, and they had a little dinner and stuff. I think did you go on the Uncle Sam thing? Was that what you went on?
I have no idea what it was called, but yeah. I just know it was like I could have been on that cruise all week. It was so much
fun. It was crazy. Like I've been on the water before, and this was just different. I was like, wow.
I mean, like the sun was setting. Like we around these little islands, and they had little like homes on them, almost like outhouse looking homes. And
yeah.
Like I would live there for a short while. Like,
yeah, for a short while. For an artist, dude, you could be like landlocked.
Now, freezing over, like during this where it like becomes so thick you can drive cars out onto it.
Yeah, they were trying to talk me out to go and ice fishing. I was like, eh, I don't know, bro.
No amount of talking could get me to do that. That sounds miserable.
Yeah, I was like, no, I think I'm gonna wear a life jacket and all this
other stuff. Yeah, if someone goes missing for like more than like 45 seconds, I'm like
freaking out.
They're under the ice.
Dude, I was up there and it snowed 61 inches in 24 hours.
I have to do some math here, but that's
that's over 5 foot.
That is ridiculous. Yeah, no thank you.
And that was just 24 hours. It didn't stop snowing. That was just in 24 hours. It was honestly, you know, being from the South, it kind of tickled me a little bit, but that's, I can only do 3 years of it, dude.
Like, I like snow every once in a while, but no, not like that.
Yeah. So, who are some of the actors that you know and hang out with?
The actors I know and hang out
with? Yeah, you got to know some cool people, dude. You've been in a lot of stuff.
I don't hang out with anyone these days. Yeah. My buddy Andy, he's a good actor. Actually, I wrote and directed a short film, and we premiered it at a festival here in Atlanta called, 17th Annual Buried Alive Film Festival, where we got a Best Cinematography nod. So, yeah. And I just put it on YouTube, actually. It's called Canvas. Canvas. Yeah, I think it's been on 2 weeks now, but I'm very proud of that, man. We shot that on, like, no budget, just, you know, friend had a camera, had an actor, had an idea, and, you know, incorporate as much as my life into it as I could, which was a lot of artwork, hence the title Canvas. But yeah. I mean, who did I just see recently? Kevin. My buddy Kevin came out to the premiere, not because of my film, but I ran into him there. He played Sam on Ozark and was in Stranger Things. But
really?
Yeah, that's a name drop. He's a good dude. My buddy Nelson, man, awesome dude. He's directing. What did he just direct? Directed Deion Sanders and his kids in a KFC commercial or something. Man, I got successful people all around me, man.
I know. You're one of the – dude, you've got it going on. I saw that you had directed on there. And how did you figure you were – I said, man, I'm just going to try to make my own movie.
Well, I will say this. Like, I've always wanted to, and mm-hmm. I've always – you know, but it's not easy. It's really not easy to kind of get started. So one day I'm hiking with my buddy Andy, and he's got this stretch of land by his house, and it's just beautiful. And I used it all in the short. Mm-hmm. But I just kept talking his ear off about, man, I could shoot this, we could do this. And he just stopped me like a couple months back, and he called my friend Nelson, who's a director, and he's like, listen, Jeremy's got an idea, we want to shoot this thing. And he was like, all right, let's do it. So then I was like, put on the hook, like, you got to do it now.
Yeah.
And so I immediately shot the whole thing with my iPhone, and I sent it to my friend Nelson just so he knew I wasn't messing around. I'm like, this is my vision, and he was cool, and he was able to get me a really high-end quality camera with, you know, a good editor, and so that whole day they basically did everything I said, and he was there to kind of, you know, hold my hand when it came to the mechanics of the camera, which, you know, I would say, hey, I want this shot, I want this, you know, speed. And he would instantly be like, you need a 50 for that, or a 40 or a 70. Right. And it was just this like invaluable day of almost like a 48 hour film fest or, you know, contest. We shot in one day, we hiked over like 6 miles. You know, I bought some food, and then I went to town with my friend Eddie, who's the editor, and my friend Ross jumped in, Jared Ross jumped in and did all the sound, which we just got a best sound nod in another festival. So yeah, it was a lot of cool people putting in their time, you know, and expecting nothing in return except for just some, you know, Facebook friends watching and making a dream come true for this guy. So like, incredibly indebted to him. So, and I'm really proud of the way it came out. So, but yeah, and inevitably I just wanted to direct something, mm-hmm. you know, and could I create a short film? That was it. And I pulled every piece that I could that was available to me, and yeah, I'm proud I finally did it. After 40 years, I finally directed my first film.
That's incredible, dude. And it's pretty wild that you said something about the 48 hour film contest.
They have a few of these around, like a 48 hour film contest or something.
Yeah, I know. Because this weird thing is, this they just reached out to me, the people that won the one in Charlotte, and want to do a podcast on it. And I'm like, I don't really know what that is, but I mean,
it's essentially, it's kind of cool. You get crews, your film crews and a bunch of them, and they give you kind of like, you know, you all draw out of a hat type of thing, like a prop or a line or a character or something. And you have to incorporate that into your movie. And it's usually something very specific, you know?
Yeah. So they give you like a,
like a car door or something like that. They give you like four tables there. You know, you have to put these in your film somehow.
Wow. Have you ever done one?
Oh yeah. Like I did one in Seattle, like when I was in college, and that was actually probably my first short film. It was so dumb. I couldn't tell you who did it, why we did it, but it was, yeah, it was some sort of film festival, not fest, but it was like for a class or something, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you shoot them quick, you get creative, and yeah, I think they're a lot of fun.
That's awesome, dude. So, so you're not working on anything right now, but you're, because it's the season's off, other than art.
It's art, and I do a lot of art shows. I just did like 3 art markets the last 2 weekends, and now I have nothing for 2 weeks. And then middle of December, I have like 3 markets, like back to back to back. And then other than that, like I actually got an LLC for my company, my Art by Palico company. So it's, you know, promotions and actually painting and getting them out there and shipping. Like I have it all set up in my house now, like a scale. I've got, you know, the printable mailing, you know, postage, excuse me. And so, yeah, it's really keeping me busy. So,
Jeremy, you're highly like organized with this. You're excited about it.
It's almost fear and like, what am I going to do with my life? But like, I absolutely love painting right now. And the support behind it has been incredibly insane. You know, like my mom buys a lot of them. I'm not going to lie. But I'm telling her it's like investing in Apple. Like one day when I'm long gone. You know,
yeah, yeah.
These are like my little immortal kind of like paintings I'm leaving behind.
Wow.
So, you know, deep down, there's that little nugget of like, oh, wow. Like I'm honored that these get to, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really like flattered when people.
It's kind of like writing books or something. You buy a bunch of your own copies, just get the bestseller, and then you go.
Telling you, yeah.
So are you coming to, you doing any more cons, comic cons?
You know, those are kind of getting more difficult to get in nowadays. Like I used to, like when I was first on The Walking Dead, and it's more so these things kind of have a shelf life. Like,
yeah.
If you're not hot right now, nobody really cares about you.
Right.
And that's just the life of actors and anyone in the entertainment.
Field. Yeah.
You know, there's the few, and they're the lucky ones that, you know, they get the cool role back in the 70s or 80s, and they travel around the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, there's still that character that is beloved, and, you know, Walking Dead is very cool, but there's millions of characters. So right now it's more like, hey, I can do these shows as an artist, and oh, by the way, he's an actor.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to like, come meet the guy from The Walking Dead.
Right. No, that's really cool, because you got the art thing, dude. I'm telling you, it is really neat. The piece I got's got the tree and like a moon or something. It's really cool, dude.
And I tell you what, the greatest honor I get out of that is knowing that that's the only one.
Yeah.
You know, that was by me for, you know, you. That is, no one else has it. And so, yeah, that feels really cool to, you know, when people, like I had a woman come up to me at a con. She's like, oh, my mom bought a piece from you last year and it's in our bathroom. And I'm like, that's awesome, you know.
So how does one of your paintings start? I mean, how do you start? You grab a canvas and just
put, like, I use every canvas is almost, you know, like a palette. So I'll just put it on here, and I will go around my house, which is a mess of paintings, by the way, just littered everywhere. And I never really, whenever I feel like painting, and it's always that, like I have to want to paint, which is, you know, obsessively a lot. But I have a bin of light colors and dark colors, and I kind of just draw, you know, a couple out, and whatever I get that day is what I'm working with.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of walk around my house aimlessly and start figuring out what needs what or what I want to explore. But it's like the only rule I have is that I'm always going forward. I never question it. Mm-hmm. I never doubt it. I never go, oh, I messed up. I never do that. Like, it's always like, now we're going somewhere else with this one. And so it's all just kind of accidental, but, and I will say humbly that I've been told that I have a style. One person did say that it was Bob Ross on acid, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can look at your paintings and tell there's a consistency and a style there for sure.
Yeah, and it's, and humbly again, it's effortlessly. Like, I just love doing it. Like, I don't think when I paint. Again, it's my escape.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting, you know, calling myself an artist is still very new to me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's. I've just been ingrained in being an actor for 25 years, you know, but I, you know, haven't acted in the last year and a half. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm really enjoying the life of a painter and artist.
And yeah, I seen you throw down on the guitar too.
Oh man, that's my, actually when I was in high school and I injured my knee and I was out for the count of sports, my dad had an old guitar and I kind of just started fumbling about with it, and 20 years later, still kind of just jamming away, but not proficient in any way, shape, or form. But I could probably cover a few Blink songs and, you know, Green Day and Nirvana.
So yeah. Yeah.
The basics, you know, like, I will never bring a guitar to a campfire.
Right, right, right.
Not doing it.
So what's your favorite band?
Favorite band. Okay, all time. Man, this is a question I've pondered. What is my favorite? I'm going to go Blink-182.
Blink-182.
At one point that might have been embarrassing to say, but now that I think about it, they've been there since high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like that roller coaster of emotion, and the fact that when I went to see them in high school, their tickets were $36, and now they're like $700.
Ooh.
Should tell you, like, that's pretty dang cool. But
that's cool. You didn't ride skateboards and stuff like that?
Oh, God, no, man. I had a BMX bike for a while, and if anyone's ever seen that movie Rad, it was an 80s BMX movie. It's low-key, but I thought I was going to be a BMX rider for like a month, you know. But no, I tried skateboard once, fell once, I was good.
Yeah, dude, I got a skateboard, and I was like, you know, I went down a hill, and I was like, oh, no, this ain't for me.
No, no. Never looked at a half pipe? No thanks, man.
Nah, yeah. My buddies, they got into Blink-182 and that whole, like, skateboard. So we're about the same age. I'm 38, you're 40, correct?
41.
Oh, man. You're
gonna be 42, man. Shit, I'm not...
Yeah, I'm going to be 38 in May. When's your birthday?
The 4th of February.
4th of February.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyways, they got into all that, and I kind of got into a little bit heavier stuff.
First band was Korn. My first concert was Korn.
So. Oh, dude, I went to, my first concert was Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, man.
Their second album. Yeah, their second album was... is when I went to their concert. They were on tour, I think, with Redman or something like that.
I definitely had Limp Bizkit CDs, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, now that I came back to my parents' house, I was looking. Some of my CDs are still in my dad's collection in there.
Dude, my CDs are still in my car, so.
That's awesome. So before we get off here, because we almost got an hour, I got to ask you a little bit about the Vampire Diaries.
Shoot.
So... what was it like being on set? Because this is all for my wife right here.
All right. Well, I will tell you, this is actually a good story. So the day before I was set to shoot, I was in Miami shooting a short film called So Dark. And I think that's still on Amazon Prime. I played this vampire, and it's like a 10-minute short, but it was like one of the coolest things I ever shot. But we had a very inexperienced makeup artist who put a bunch of red blood on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was done shooting there, I had to drive 10 hours to Atlanta to shoot Vampire Diaries the next day, which was a huge deal, you know, for me. But the red was not coming off of my face. It was like, you know, imprinted, and I was deathly scared. I was like in tears driving 10 hours figuring out, how do I get this off of my face? And a friend of a friend texted me and was like, go to CVS, get this honey, get this. And so I concocted this paste, put it on my face. I'm driving to Atlanta. I get to my hotel. I take it all off. And thank God it went down like 99%. And I was all right. But I do recall, I remember going to set, and it was the first time they had shot away from Conyers, Georgia. We were shooting at some university for one of our scenes. And I'm sitting in my trailer like, all day. And that sounds so cool sometimes, but it's so boring.
Right.
You're sitting in like this mobile home bored for hours. And so one, again, this first time we're shooting away from their private campus. And so there was fans, like thousands of fans. I had never seen so many across the street with like cops and security. And I leave my trailer because I'm just bored. And as soon as I leave my trailer, the entire road of fans go screaming nuts, right? Mm-hmm. And I go, what's up? And I look behind me, and Ian Somerhalder had just gotten out of his trailer. So it was really embarrassing.
And then I
probably shouldn't say this, but it was kind of awkward on sets because I did not know them very well.
Right.
And apparently the two lead actors had broken up in real life. Like they were dating, they were not, they were dating.
Wow.
So, you know, it was like this fun scene, but you know, we just kept taking long breaks and it was weird. And you know, afterwards they were all very kind people and, you know, did my job and, you know, I was very thrilled. And then actually I remember when it came out, I was telling all my friends and family to watch, and a good chunk of that work had got cut. And
oh boy.
They tell you the old cutting room floor routine, and yeah, it's, they cut out a cool part, which I thought, but nonetheless, you know, again, getting to be in that little universe for a second was, man, any actor will tell you, like, it's pretty cool to get those parts.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, Jeremy. I appreciate you coming on, hanging out with me for a little bit.
My pleasure.
Can you tell me where to get some of your art? You got a website?
Artbypalco.square.site. It's, you know, they've got Etsy and they got Square, and I use Square. It's artbypalco.square.site. And man, you're going to have to keep me informed, David, man.
Like, yeah. I'll let you know for sure.
You said he's still at the hospital? Or?
Yeah. Well, my wife ended up taking him. So,
okay.
But yeah, he just got scraped up. I think he's going
to. It's a checkup kind of thing.
Yeah, just a checkup because he was saying he didn't want to sit down and stuff. But
He needs to go get checked out, man. I hope he's all right.
Yeah, I got hit by a freaking mail truck, bro.
But he will have a very cool story after this.
Yeah. And that was crazy because we're walking and I was telling him how I used to walk up to the store when I was a little kid, and he's like, oh, I can do that. Then I'm like, I don't know. Boom, got hit by a truck.
Well, I hope he gets spoiled with some love, man.
Yeah,
he'll remember that one, but he'll probably also remember the dent he left in the, the mail truck.
So. Yeah. All right, that's Jeremy. Cool. Well, I appreciate you, dude. We'll be seeing you around.
Pleasure, brother. Yeah, keep in touch, man.
Yeah, see ya.
Later.
Bye.